Les colloques du Collège de France.
And the next presentation is given by Clémentine Prieur, and I am very happy that she could accept the invitation to come here. So Clémentine is at the University of Grenoble-Alpes in the project team INRIA-RC. And she will speak about diffeomorphism-based feature learning using Poincaré inequality.
Okay, so thank you, Yvon, for the introduction. I'm very glad and honored to be here. So I met Yvon more than 15 years ago when I got my position in Grenoble, and at that moment I was quite naive about modal order reduction, and I learned a lot to leverage reduced basis for sensitivity analysis at that time. So thank you for all I learned from you. And today I am going to present some work on dimension reduction using Poincaré inequalities. And this is a joint work with Romain Verdière, a PhD of mine who defended in December, and with Olivier Zab, who is a colleague from Grenoble. And so our aim is to reduce the dimension, and so more precisely, so we are considering some computational model. So as many of you, this model takes inputs in a very large dimension set, X. And so we would like to approximate you with a composition of functions, F composed with G. And we can see G as a decoder in some sense, so that reduces the dimension, and phi on F, sorry, as a feature map. And in that work, we consider that we have additional information on the gradient of our model. That means that in the same time as we can evaluate our model on a training set, we can get at the same price the gradient. So the idea is that given a data set, so as I said, our data set is the training points. And on each of these points, you get both the model evaluation and the evaluation of the gradient. And given this data set, we want to best reconstruct you with a composition of function. And we are considering that we have some uncertainties and the input set, so that we are considering this approximation error, which is the expectation of a square norm, where we model the inputs by a random vector x. Okay, and the norm is just here, the Euclidean norm on RP. Okay, so as I said, we wish to tackle some large dimensions, T, and we want to reduce the input dimension by finding some interesting low features. And so we will consider such approximations, F composed with G. And as you can see, you could choose just as G the identity, in that case, to make no dimension reduction. Or at contrary, you could choose F as the identity. And in that case, you are just considering to reduce the dimension to one. And of course, you have to do with the data set that you have. So there is no guarantee that you can succeed in finding some small m, but at least we would like to try to do at best by compensating the information of F and G with a given data set. There are many works dealing with linear dimension reduction, such as active subspace, sliced inverse regression, if you think about statistical methods. And here we will mainly focus on nonlinear dimension reduction. And the idea of the approach was to first find some upper bound on our error, approximation error, and then to optimize the upper bound rather than optimizing directly the error. A naive strategy would be just, I consider the error, so either L2 error or H1 error, and I minimize the this reconstruction error by jointly searching for the profile function f and the feature function g. And as I say, our strategy will be two steps. So first, we will find for a bond and the approximation error, and then we will learn using this bond. We will learn the feature map G, and then we will just learn the profile function F by regressing U of X and G of X. So most of the effort in this approach will be put on the learning of a feature map G. And just a small experiment to motivate this two-step strategy. So here we consider for G an approximation class, because of course we have to do that. And here we will consider such an approximation class that the feature map is composed with the first coordinate of a C1 diffeomorphism. And on the bottom on the picture, so we considered a very simple benchmark. U of X is the cosine of the square norm of X, with X which is uniformly distributed on the unit hyperscube in dimension 20. And we have different colors. So the red one is that we minimize jointly on F and G the L2 error. The blue we minimize jointly with H1 norm. And in black is our strategy. And also to see the impact on the choice of the approximation class, we consider with a dashed line the general case, and with a plain line, it's the case where we have chosen as the approximation class the first coordinates of a C1 diffeomorphism. And we see that the two-step strategy can outperform the direct strategy of jointly minimizing the approximation error in F and G. But you see also that we have two black curves, and the one which does the best is one where we use another trick that I will introduce later, which is the augmentation of the input dimension. This will serve as adding some flexibility in our solving of the problem. Okay, so let us come back to our problem. So we want to write U as a composition of function. So if you just use the chain rule, you get that the gradient of U has to belong to the range of the gradient of G transpose. And we will leverage this information to recover the profile the feature map, sorry, G. And so this is why we choose this cost function, which is just the L2 error between the gradient of U and its projection on the image of gradient G transpose. Okay, so what we have proven with the chain rule is that if U is exactly a composition of function, then this cost function is equal to zero. But of course, if we want to use it to make some dimension reduction, we would like to know if the reciprocal is true. And in fact, it is true under some assumptions. So if you consider that U is C1 and that G belongs to the approximation class I have introduced previously, that is G is composed with the first coordinate of a C1 diffeomorphism, then the cost function is null if and if there exists some profile function F, which is C1, such that U is exactly a composition of F with U, with G. Okay, and in fact, this result does not generalize to any approximation class, and in particular, in the first work, we considered polynomial class for approximation, and in that case, this result is false. Okay, and another question is, can we prove that if U is not exactly the composition of a function, but close to a composition of a function, can we prove that the cost function is close to zero? And for that, we will use the so-called Poincaré inequalities, where you compare the L2 norm with the energy norm of a model. So y here is just a random vector in RG. And what Poincaré inequalities say is that if you consider the variance of h of y on the left, then it is bounded above by some constant, which depends on the probability measure on y, multiplied by the energy norm expectation of the square norm of quadrant h of y. And what we call the Poincaré constant, it's the minimal constant c such that such an inequality is true for all continuously differentiable functions. And so, leveraging this inequality, what we can prove is that the reconstruction error, so on the left, the minimum taken over all the profile functions f of u of x minus f composed with g of x in the L2 sense, is bounded by some constant, I will discuss this constant later on, times the cost function that we have just introduced before. So if we can prove such an inequality, then if the cost function is close to zero, the decomposition is almost true. In fact, the problem, it's just a guideline for the methodology, because a problem is how to prove that this constant is finite, and in fact, it's not so easy. In the linear case, it can be proven, but in the general case, it is still an open problem, because as you can see, it's not simply a Poincaré constant. In fact, you are considering x, the random vector x conditioned on its level sets, on the level sets of G, so X conditions by G of X is equal to ZM, and you take the supremum over all the level sets and over all the functions G in the approximation class. Okay, so in the linear framework, you can prove some results, but in the nonlinear framework, it is still an open problem. But never mind, it was a guideline to guide our dimension reduction data frame. Okay, and this was a first cost function by considering the problem in the input space. But due to the form that we have chosen for G, that is, it is composed with the first coordinate of a C1 diffeomorphism, we can also work in the feature space. So what does it mean? It means that, so we consider G of X as phi 1 of X, phi M of X, and you can introduce the function capital F, which is on R to the D minus M, onto R, and it is the composition of U with phi minus 1. As phi is invertible, we can define this function. And in fact, what does it mean that G is a good feature map for our problem? It means that this function is almost constant, okay? And so it leads to another cost function, that time in the feature space. In fact, we will consider the expectation of a square norm of a gradient of F. Okay, so F is in dimension D minus M. And so it can be rewritten as follows. So it's the gradient, the invert of the gradient of phi transposed times the gradient of U of X. And we consider it with respect to the coordinates which are not relevant for our problem. And in fact, such a cost function had been introduced in the framework of deep learning. But without theoretical justification, but then at the end, I will give some unified framework for all these cost functions. What is what?
The
it's just that you consider the last dimensions, the last D minus M dimensions. You don't take the gradient on all the dimensions. Okay, and in that case, you can prove some results. So you can still use some Poincaré inequalities to bound the L2 approximation errors. So you have a feature map that time in the feature space, and you have a new Poincaré constant. And that time, it is the Poincaré constant. So you consider phi of x, so you are in the feature space conditioned by the level sets of G, and you take the supremum over all level sets and over all phi in the approximation class. So here it's how you can imagine input space and feature space. So you have input space that you in some sense linearize to the feature space. And what is interesting in working in the feature space is that in the case where phi of x is normally distributed, then you can prove that the Poincaré inequality, which is a supremum of Poincaré inequality of Poincaré constants, it is exactly equal to one. And so it is why we decided to add some regularizing term to the cost function in the feature space to push phi of x to a normal distribution. And it is what is written on the right. You see that we add some penalty, which to an additive constant term is the Kullback-Leibler divergence between phi of x and z with z standardized normal vector. Okay, so once more, it's more a guideline because in fact, you can always find counterexample where the Kullback-Leibler divergence is close to zero, but phi of x is not close to the standard normal vector. Maybe there are other divergences that we could look at, such as MMD, or I don't know which one. It could be interesting to see if we can have stronger guarantees with other divergences. And also, you have an hyperparameter to tune. Okay, so I told you at the beginning, I showed you some curve where the two-step strategy worked very well, but I said if you add some augmentation dimension trick, and it is what I will introduce now, it is well known that if you augment the dimension, it provides more flexibility to your approximation problem. And so these are tricks that have been introduced in other communities, for example, in neural ODEs. They're used for normalizing flows. And just to motivate this, so for example, if you consider any function g from x to Rm, there is no reason why it should be the first components of a diffeomorphism. And now, if you consider any C1 diffeomorphism from X to Rm, and if you consider the feature map G of X Xi, so you augment the input space with this Xi, so you define G as H of X plus Xi, then this new function, it corresponds to the m-force components of a diffeomorphism phi, which is defined on the augmented space, as phi of x psi is h of x plus psi and x. Okay, and you can compute easily the invert of this C1 diffeomorphism. So you see that you add some flexibility to learn the feature map, and we decided to plug this trick in our approximation problem. So now what we want to learn, it is an approximation of our initial model, but it is in some sense some randomized approximation. That is, we will approximate. So first we introduce U bar, which goes from the augmented input space to R, and which is just defined as U of X, okay? We consider that the augmented variable can be of any dimension k greater or equal to 1, and it is a random vector with values in the augmented space, and which is centered and independent from X. Okay, and so now you are considering as approximation class the analog of the first element of a C1 diffeomorphism, but that time it is on the augmented input space, so on X times Xi. And you can introduce exactly the same cost functions, but on this augmented space. Okay, so it's exactly the same, but you work with U bar instead of U. Okay, So just to comment a little bit more on the dimension of mutation trick. So you know that the best profile function will be exactly, so for a given G, it will exactly be the conditional expectation of U of X conditionally on the level set of G of X Xi. And what you consider now, you consider U hat, which is the composition of this best profile function with G. And you can decompose the error, so between U and U hat, the L2 error, you can decompose it in two terms. The first term is just U of X minus the expectation of U hat, because U hat, it is randomized because of the presence of Xi, plus a second term, which is the expectation of the conditional variance. And in fact, what is interesting is that you recover the L2 approximation error between U and U tilde, that is, you replace your model with a constant, and another term, which in terms of sensitivity analysis, represent the sensitivity of U hat with respect to the augmented dimension. So it means that in case this is not sensitive to this augmentation trick, then you can replace U only by the expectation of this randomized model. So just, I thought it was interesting to make this link with sensitivity analysis. But just the idea is that now, with this trick, you approximate your model with a randomized model. Okay? And what I presented you was for a scalar-valued model, but all of that can be extended easily to vector-valued functions. So in that case, just what is changing is that the profile function f is going from Rm to Rq. And in that case, you can just leverage the equality here that you can decompose the L2 approximation error as a sum over the Q components of the output. And thus, you are not considering the gradient anymore, but the Jacobian matrix, but everything works the same. And you get the following cost functions, where you just replace the norm with the Frobenius norm of the matrices. Okay, and when working on this problem, initially we were interested in supervised dimension reduction, that is, we wanted to approximate a model, but in fact, at the moment we thought, okay, but why not considering the case where U is just the identity, and in that case, we are just in the framework of encoder-decoder, and so we wanted to know what happens if we do that. And in that case, G, the feature map, is just can be seen as an encoder, which encodes the information in the input space in a small dimension vector G of X. And the profile function is just seen as a decoder. And what is interesting, as we consider the first coordinates of a C1 diffeomorphism, you can decode for free by considering the invert of phi. Okay. And in that case, you know exactly the form of the best decoder. It's the conditional expectation of phi minus one zm, z orthogonal conditionally on zm. Okay, and so you can consider the cost functions in that framework, but we were very disappointed because if you consider the cost function in the input space, in fact, it is constant, always equal to d minus m. So you cannot do anything with that cost function. However, if you consider the cost function in the feature space, that time you get some information. So here it is the cost function which is regularized by the Kullback-Leibler divergence. And in that case, you can use it to learn the encoder decoder. Okay, and we compare this approach with some classical approach in the literature, where they also parameterize the encoder with the first components of a C1 diffeomorphism. But to decode, they use the suboptimal decoder by just zero padding the non-informative directions for example, by putting zero in these components. And it is what we call in the comparison LM0 of phi, and they consider this reconstruction error to learn the decoder. Okay, so I will show some numerical experimentation after that. But before, I would like to discuss the approximation class, because you could consider many classes of C1D diffeomorphism, and what we chose to use, they are coupling flows. So coupling flows, they are also a very classical class of invertible neural network. More precisely, we consider block affine coupling flows. So that is that you cut your input space in two parts. So on one part, you just take the identity. And in the other part, you consider this particular form with x multiplied by the exponential of s plus t, and where both s and t will be learned with a L-layered neural network. Okay, and the advantage of such a form is that you will get some triangular form of a Jacobian or of a gradient, so that it will be invertible. And also to add some flexibility and enrich the approximation class, we decided to add some permutations at each step of the composition. Okay, so what we do is a composition of block affine coupling flows, and at each time we add a permutation before composing with a new block affine coupling flow. And just a remark, in the approach where they used the zero padding, in fact, they didn't consider some invertible neural network. This is another remark. Here, just a remark that in practice, we may work with some input space which is not the full RD, but it's not a problem. In that case, we just come back to RD by composing with a map, for example, Rosenblatt map. Okay, so let me show some numerical simulations. So as I said, we start with a training data set, and we have a first step where we learn the feature map, and then it is the step where we put much effort by considering of cost functions, and then we recover the profile function just by regression with a full neural network, and we consider different metrics to measure the quality of the reconstruction, which are classical in the literature. So here I have listed all what we used. So we minimized with ADAM, and I precise all the parameters. Okay. So we compare different procedures. So first, the procedure in the input space, in the feature space, and also the similar procedure, which was introduced without justification in Zhang et al. And in fact, what can we prove is that all these procedures, they can be unified if you consider phi as a linear isometry. In that case, they all reduce to active subspace. Okay, and if phi is not linear, in fact, they differ only from the choice of the norm chosen to project the gradient. You can prove that they all have the same form, except that the norm chosen to project the gradient is different from one method to the other one. Okay, and we chose two different test cases. The first one was interesting because it can be approximated by a polynomial feature map. And so as we had previously developed a method with a polynomial class of approximation, we wanted to compare on this function. And the second one, we know that it cannot be decomposed with a polynomial feature map. And there are the results we obtain. So we have, when you see, for example, back F ISD plus 2, it means that we augmented the dimension with random vector of dimension 2, psi of dimension 2. And so the column of the number of parameters, so to see that the number of parameters differ, of course, if you consider a polynomial approximation class or over neural networks. But what we see is that on the first example, the method which do the best is the one based on polynomial approximation, PFM, which was a method we developed previously with Olivier Zam and Youssef Marzouk. But it is what was expected because we know in that case that you have a polynomial feature map. But you see also that it does the best if you have sufficiently enough training points. If you only consider 100 training points, in that case, the best approach is the one on the input space where you augment the dimension. So it is interesting to see that with such an approach in two step and with Poincaré feature, Poincaré bounds, we can achieve a very good result with only 100 training points in dimension 20 here. Okay, and if you consider the second model, so that time you know that there is no polynomial feature map. And in that case, you see that the augmented treat in the input space is always the best for 100 or 500 training points in dimension 8 here. Okay, and here it's such plots are interesting because what we represent is U of X with respect to G of X. So a good result is when the blue points they are aligned with a shape, very good aligned with a shape, because in that case you will learn easily the profile function F because it is exactly the regression of U of X and G of X. And you see the result here on the left, it's for the first model in dimension 20 with 100 training points, and on the right for the second one in dimension 8 with 100 training points, both with the cost function in the input space with augmentation dimension. Okay, and we also applied this approach to autoencoder, as I told you. So here it's a completely artificial example where we created by simulation the manifold by using some matrices Q1 to QD. And here so we used Z as a vector which is uniformly distributed on minus 2, 2 with some dimension M int, which is equal to 3 here. And so we generated artificially the manifold and we tried to recover it with the different cost functions. So we have two examples, one in dimension 8 and one in dimension 16. And here are the results. So on the left, you have a training data set of size 100 and on the right of size 500. And what you compare is in blue, it's the zero padding. So the approach where you do not reconstruct optimally the profile function. And in orange. And in blue, it is our approach. And you see that if you consider so it's quite analog, to be honest, not a high improvement, except if you consider some small dimension M, which what we are interested in, because in that case, you reduce a lot the dimension, and you see that in that case, you have some clear improvement by using the optimal recovery. But of course, it's more costful. Okay, and a problem was also how to tackle high dimension, because you have two issues. You have to minimize the upper bound in the feature space. So if you work with the cost function in the feature space, and this requires the evaluation of a Jacobian matrix on each sample and at each iteration. So it is costful. And if the dimension becomes high, it was a problem. And also, what I said is that we have no theoretical guarantees for the Poincaré constant. So we wanted also to tackle this problem. And what we propose to tackle the first limitation is to use a randomized algebra. So by making use of the Hutchinson estimator to estimate the Frobenius norm of a matrix A, in fact, what you will estimate is you will use a Monte Carlo estimator of you rewrite the Frobenius norm of a matrix A to the square as the expectation over Z of the square norm of AZ to the square, where Z is a normalized random vector Gaussian normalized random vector. And so you see that here you can use a Monte Carlo estimator where you never compute the Jacobian, but the evaluation of the vector by the Jacobian. So it is what we will use in the following. And also to tackle the second issue, we decided to, instead of using the cost function directly, to use the L2 approximation error, but regularizing by the cost function. Okay, so it is what we do here. And I don't know how many time maybe I am. Okay, no, so I just finished with the numerical illustration, sorry. And okay, that time we consider an example in dimension 150, and by using the Hutchinson estimator, and what we get as results. So here we consider a training set of 750, which is quite low with respect to the input space dimension, and we see that we reach a rather good result with in particular when we consider the input space cost function or the feature space cost function. Okay, and here is the numerical illustration for autoencoders, still increasing the dimension. So that time we are considering the use and the autoencoder by using the regularizing of the approximation error with the feature space loss. And we see also that here we do better than the zero padding in the range of small reduction dimension. Okay, so the conclusion is that we are not so proud about the increasing accuracy, because we know that it is more costful. But what we learned with the application to the autoencoder is that you can explain the approaches in the literature and understand more precisely what happens. And also you can tackle by combining randomized linear algebra with the geometry to learn the encoder that you can do as good as by just making some zero padding heuristic. Okay, and so the conclusion is that we have proposed some way of leveraging some inequality to optimize some approximation based on dimension reduction. And we have also leveraged some augmentation of a dimension trick, which works very, very well in the input space. And as I said, we can go to high dimension, but there are many perspectives, and in particular, the Poincaré inequalities is very demanding, because we want an inequality which is true on all the C1 maps. And in fact, what we would like is some inequality. What we will need is some inequality which is true on the approximation class, so something much less strong. And maybe there are ways to leverage such inequalities. And also there are some links with variational autoencoder. I didn't say, but you can see variational autoencoder as an application of augmentation trick, because with variational autoencoder, what we want to learn is some encoder which is random, and you can write it in fact and see that it is exactly related to what happens in our strategy. So thank you for your attention.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.